would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. And I don't want you to think that just because we're not going another direction there that, God's not moving. I guess the preacher's going to preach now. Well, I'm believing God's going to move in the preaching.
Amen.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what's on my mind. Amen. And what I've got on my heart to deal with this morning is not going to be that which satisfies the flesh. It's certainly not going to be appealing to the flesh. In fact, if anything, it'll probably be appalling to the flesh. But it's needful. God's dealing with us about it. And we're going to be dealing quite a bit on this subject. I'm concerned. I'm very concerned about the lack that I'm seeing in churches, individual people, churches that claim to be saved, and then they seemingly don't really go on from that point.
Right.
They claim to be saved, and they'll tell you, "Oh, I'm saved," but that's as far as they go. But that's not the end. Getting saved is the door. Jesus said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." The door is an entrance. It's a beginning. Salvation is only the beginning point. And I'm alarmed and concerned and burdened about the fact that the majority of church people today are claiming to be saved, and I'm not saying they are or are not. I don't have that authority. But they claim to be saved, and they're not going on to serve.
Right.
They're not going from salvation on to serve. And you don't leave salvation to serve. You grow from salvation into service.
Yeah.
A salvation that does not produce service, I've got scriptural question marks on whether it's real.
Right.
God doesn't save a person just to take them to heaven. And oh, what a glorious fringe benefit that is. If God was only interested in taking you to heaven, he would have took you, that was all he wanted to save you for. Then when you got saved, he would have took you to heaven that day, that moment. Okay, as soon as you got saved in the altar, okay, I've accomplished what I wanted. Come on to the house. And you'd have died in the altar. But being saved is only the beginning. God has a purpose. God has a plan, an earthly plan. Not just an eternal plan. God has an earthly plan in your life. God desires to take you from salvation to service. God wants to make a servant out of you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And Brother McCarricker talked about serving two masters. And when you get saved, you know that you become a bond slave to the Lord. I'm not seeing much of that in churches today. People say to get saved, and that's as far as they go. They don't ever talk much about it. They don't ever do nothing much with it. And I don't have that. I don't have that, and I don't want you to have that. I want you to know from the Word of God that God saves you to serve Him. Service, listen, and I'm just going to mind the Lord here. I know I'm not even going to get started really what I come to church planning to deal with, because the Lord's been giving me fresh stuff even while the choir was singing and stuff. So we're just going to mind the Lord and deal with everything the Lord tells me to deal with this morning. But God, a lot of people's got in their mind that service is a preacher thing. Or a Sunday school teacher thing, or if you hold a position, or a deacon thing, or something. No, it's a saved thing. Anybody that's saved, when you get saved, you have a desire that comes in with your birth to serve God. You may not know the particulars of that. As when I got saved, I didn't know at that moment God wanted me to preach. But inside of me was a desire to serve God. And I promise you, if you don't have a desire to serve God, you won't do it. And if you don't have a desire to serve God, there is a problem that needs some investigating in your life to find out what the problem is. Amen. I know you can get out of fellowship with God as a believer. You can get distracted and get your eyes on other things and lose that propelling drive to serve God. But it won't last long. Misery will come in. Conviction will come in. Chastisement will come in. Whatever God has to do to get you back on track, refresh and revive that desire to serve God. Amen. Preacher, I didn't come to hear a message on service. I need some gladness this morning. Well, have you not read Psalms 100? Serve the Lord with gladness. And come before His presence with singing. You know what? Listen, God's word attaches joy to service. The joy, true joy, you can't go and get in a bottle or a pill or a potion. You can't find it in a person, far as an earthly person. Joy is spiritual. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. When you get saved, the Spirit of God takes up residence in your life at that moment. And He produces joy in your heart. Amen. Amen. That's right. Satisfies your heart. Anyway, I want to deal with that subject of service. We got September for Souls coming up here in, actually we got one more Sunday and then September starts. And September for Souls, and we're interested in service.
Right.
Not just in the month of September, but ongoing.
Right.
Amen. Right. And I promise you this, a person that just claims to be saved and they're not really interested in the will of God for their life, their spiritual life will be short-lived. They won't be up. They'll be wobbling on the axle. Amen. They won't be steadfast or anything.
Right.
But I want to start dealing this morning, if the Lord will help me, in verse number 7. I'll just read these verses, and I was aiming to just stay in these verses, but actually I'm going to stay in the chapter and point out a few things, and then we'll close this morning. Look at verse number 7, if you would, of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me. This is the master talking, the master of that servant. Gird thyself and serve me. Till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which were commanded you. Do you notice that? Now he's bringing the application here. He's given a somewhat of a parable type story here to illustrate this truth of service. He's given the application now. Here's what I'm really wanting you to get to. Here's where I'm really wanting you to see. Verse number 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm interested this morning in service. What hinders, of course, this passage here, verse 7 through 10, deals with being an unprofitable servant. And I will deal with that a little bit later on as the Lord leads my heart. But I'm just going to talk to you this morning about what hinders you from serving. I've not these particular points right through here. God just give them to me so they're fresh, and we'll just see what the Lord will have to say about it. But as we go back in chapter number 17 in verse number 1, I want to read these verses, and I had a lot I was wanting to say as far as just introduce that what an unprofitable servant is and what Jesus was trying to say, and we'll cover that at another time. But I want you to notice with me in verse number 1 of chapter 17. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee and say, I repent, and thou shalt forgive him. Of course, if you look at the counter passage of that in Matthew's gospel, I believe it is, when Peter asked the Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven times. And the Lord said, 70 times seven, which is 490 times. But it wasn't that, those details weren't revealed here in this passage. But look in verse number 5. And the apostle said, unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now what about that? He just dealt with it. I'm talking this morning on what hinders you from serving. What is a hindrance to you from serving the Lord? Of course, the ultimately number one would be, are you saved?
Right.
You're not going to want to serve the Lord and have him as your master if you're not saved. You need to get that nailed down first. Amen. You are not what you are because of what you do. You do what you do because of what you are. Amen.
Right.
You listen, you are, did that make sense to you? That's a little twist there, but think about it. A dog is not a dog because it barks.
Right.
It barks because it's a dog.
Right.
I'm not saved because I'm serving, but rather I'm serving because I am saved.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying now?
Right.
But here we find, they said, increase our faith. God is dealing, look in verse 6, and the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What is the context of verse 1 through 6? Offenses. Somebody trespassing against you. Somebody hurting your little feelings. Somebody saying something or doing something that is an offense to you. And by the way, you're not going to go through this life without being offended, and you're probably not going to go through this life without doing some offending. I've been offended. I mean, who cares, right? I've been offended, but I'm sure that I've probably done my share of offending people. Amen. I don't want to do that. Sometimes I've offended people and don't even have no clue I did it. I've had people to get the poochie lip over the years and be mad as a devil and quit coming to church and everything. And I had no clue. I've even told them, if I've done something, I'm in the dark about it because I don't have a clue. If you'll help clue me in, if you'll help me to know what I've done, I'll be glad and quick to say I'm sorry. Unless it's apologizing for truth, and I will die before I apologize for truth. But the point I'm showing you in verse 1 through 6 is the context is dealing with offenses. How many people, Lord showed me, sat right over there, how many people today are not serving God because of offenses, because of hurts? Amen. Isn't it amazing that before he even deals with verse 7 through 10 about the unprofitable servant, he's dealing with offenses.
Right.
Dealing with people that's hurt you.
Right.
You can't serve God with ill will. You can't serve God with a grudge. You can't serve God with unforgiveness in your heart. Now, I know what you think. You think that if I forgive them, they're getting off the hook. No, they're not getting off the hook. You're being set free.
Right.
Forgiveness sets you free. God is still going to deal with the wrongs of others. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Why not do the spiritual thing, scriptural thing, and say, Lord, you know what's right and wrong, and Lord, you know what they've done or said even more so than I do. I'm going to forgive them and trust you to do what needs to be done. Amen. How many in this service, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many in this service are struggling in the realm of serving the Lord. Well, first, because you're not saved. I don't want to keep going back and dealing with that, but that's first base. You've got to get that one nailed down for if you're going to be a servant. You'll never be saved by serving. You'll never be saved. Okay, preacher, I'm going to start doing better. I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And you know, and I've got these resolutions I'm going to try to adhere to. And you know, preacher, I'm going to start coming to church. And that's commendable. Praise God, that's commendable. I'm going to start reading my Bible. That's commendable. But none of those things will make you a Christian. Going to church won't make you a Christian no more than walking into a mechanic shop will turn you into an automobile. Say amen right there. That's right. But you got to get that. I don't know why I hit that again. Maybe the Lord wants that. But you got to be saved. Getting saved makes you a servant and the Lord your master. But how many is in this place today? How many people you know, their spiritual life, their serving life is dwindling and declining, and some have all but disappeared because of offenses. People doing something or not doing something. Or saying something or not saying something that has got you crossed up with the Lord. And the Lord showed me that before. Listen, there's a lot of people that are carrying around unforgiveness. Read the epistles that Paul wrote and look at the times Paul spent on relationship truths. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another even for as God for Christ's sake has forgave you. Look at the untold hundreds probably of verses that is in the Word of God that deals with relationships. You know why? Because God knows how important that is. So in verse number 1-6, we have that the Lord is showing here that offenses, being offended, dealing with difficulties, dealing with hurts, dealing with unforgiveness. If they trespass against you 7 times in a day, forgive them 7 times in a day. Now, is that easy to do? God's not asking us to do what's easy. God's asking us to do what's right so that we can be on a level spiritually where we can serve the Lord. Amen. Guarantee it, friend. Behind deadness in a lot of churches is division. This one done something, hurt that one. This one, that one over there is offended because they were left out or whatever it is. And next thing you know, you got the grieved spirit in the house of God. Say amen right there. I preached earlier this year in a church in Gaffney. Talked to the preacher yesterday. I guess that's why it's on my mind. And the church was struggling, I mean, just in every way, financially and numerically and just all kinds of ways. And I was preaching one night and God got me dealing with relationships and division and the importance of getting right with the preacher and the importance of getting right with one another. I could tell in my heart I was hitting something. I knew I was on target. I've been in this thing long enough that when I'm on a hot track, I know to bark. Say amen right there. Amen. And I just plowed that out till I was done with it and I just went on. And I made a statement a little bit later on about God had me dealing with the giving. I said, if you're not right in your giving, you can't be right with God. You know, and when it rained during that revival, there's water pouring in everywhere you look. There's water pouring in because of tight wads. It wasn't giving their tithes and offerings to the work of God. Amen. I'm telling you, it's pitiful. And so I made just a gesture on that. And next thing I know, they after the service, there's people standing up apologizing to the preacher. Some over here apologizing to some over there. Some over there apologizing to some over here. And they're getting right with God. Amen. They're getting right with one another. The preacher said, called me on Sunday, that following Sunday. He said, "Preacher, you ain't gonna believe this, but he said we had over an $8,000 offering this morning." I said, "Glory to God, amen." One person came up and said, "I'm going to get right with God on all that I've been robbing Him with," and wrote an $8,000 check.
Amen.
He called me yesterday. I was coming up the road, and he was talking about how the Lord's moving. They're having, I forgot how many they're having, like on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and just growing, and people's getting saved. That's what I like to hear, is that RBT is having a little extension help right there, helping a church there to go on and serve the Lord. But the key to that turnaround was when people began to forgive one another. They begin to forgive one another. I like that, don't you? Well, let me move on, because I got a lot I want to try to deal with in the next 10 minutes. You're hoping. I know. I read that. I discerned that. Oh, Lord, let that be so. So there is offenses. Now, I'm telling you, I don't want you to take that lightly. We're not just doing a little Bible study here. God pointed that out to me. How many in here are crossed up with somebody? Amen. The Bible said man's foes will be a day of his own household. Are you crossed up with somebody in your own house? Are you crossed up with neighbors? Are you crossed up with your children? Your children crossed up with parents, husband and wife. Crossed up. Church members crossed up. Mad at somebody at work. Amen. Going to school now. Your kids are going to school now. Are you mad and crossed up at somebody at school? Amen. You can't harbor those type feelings in your heart and be an effective servant of the Lord. Amen. Well, let that be as it is, all right? Verse 7 through 10, and I'm just going to bump this because when the Lord lets me, I'm going to come back and I'm going to actually preach out of these verses on an unprofitable servant. But right now I'm dealing with this new message the Lord gave me just right before I got up here. And verse 7 through verse number 10, not only do we have you dealing with offenses in verse number 1 through 6, but verse number 7 through 10, we have obligations being dealt with. Oh, I would serve, but the Lord wants me to do this. Oh, I would serve, but the Lord's asking me to quit that and stop this and stop that and change this in my life. Well, if you're an unprofitable servant, and that simply means that you'll never be asked to do more than your master deserves for you to do. Amen. And so verse number 7 through 10 is dealing with pride even. I don't deserve that. I deserve more. I deserve more attention. I deserve more rewards. Nobody else is doing this. Why am I asked it? Lord, why are you speaking to me about quitting this or starting that or stopping this? Nobody else is doing it. Instead of having the attitude of, instead of having that prideful self-worth attitude, I don't deserve this, I deserve better than this. Instead of having that, say to the Lord, "Lord, you're worthy of whatever you ask of me, amen, to do. You're worthy as my master." Well, amen. So you're dealing with verse 7 through 10 on what you deserve. Well, that right there is hindering a lot of people to serve God. Over 7 billion people on planet Earth today, and more people lost, more people going to hell today than's ever been in the history of the church. Probably got more church going people today, far as numerically and number wise, than has ever been, and we're doing less and accomplishing less. Why is that? I believe I'm hitting on it. Service has been put on the shelf.
Right.
Service. Amen. What I deserve and my self-value and my self-worth. And we'll comment more about that later on. I want to mention a third hindrance to serving God. Not only that of being offended or the need of forgiving somebody. Verse number 7 through 10, the need of just realizing that you need to humble yourself and be a servant to your master, the Lord Jesus, and no matter what he asks or no matter how much he asks, you will say, "Yes, Lord."
Right.
Yes, Lord. Verse number 11 down through verse number 19, this is a killer. This is a killer to service, ingratitude.
Right.
Look at verse number 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I believe God spoke to my heart about what hinders service is ingratitude. Forgetting what God has done in your life. Forgetting about what you were and where you were and amen, and what you would still be if the Lord hadn't saved you. Do you understand that this man was a leper? There was no hope for leprosy. There was no known cure for leprosy. Here was a man that was destined to die. There was no hope for him. Amen. But yet one encounter with a man from Galilee, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord changed him and healed him. And what man couldn't do, God did. And he was a Samaritan. I already commented on that in the service. He was a Samaritan. Jesus called him a stranger. But he returns back regardless of what the other 9 are doing. He got his mind on the fact that, hey, I need to go back and give God the glory. I need to go back and praise my Lord because he did the undeserved. He helped me. He changed my life. And I want to bless his name. Ingratitude, being unthankful, will never ask God, what will you help me to do? Amen. A lot of people won't even testify. Come on now, you might as well nod your head like that right there. A lot of people won't even testify. I pretty well know this is true. If you won't testify, you probably are not witnessing either. Hello.
Amen.
Getting a good glory meeting like we've had this morning. Amen. And at least the urge ought to have been there.
You're right.
Man, oh. Lord, please let me, please, Lord, amen. But ingratitude, unthankfulness. And listen, it don't matter who you are, from preacher Rackley in the pulpit all the way through the pews, I guarantee you, we're nowhere close as being grateful and as thankful as we ought to be. When we consider the greatness of our deliverance and our salvation and the grace that was involved in that and the price that God had to pay for us to get saved. Oh my soul, look at us today. We're blessed. God has saved us. And we wasn't looking for Him. He was looking for us. I'm going to tell you, ingratitude, unthankful, will kill the desire to serve God. What I'm doing is just looking at this chapter around that subject of servant, being a servant in verse 7 through 10. So those are offenses, being offended. People, somebody trespass against you, and you need to forgive. And you may be on the other end of that. You may be on the trespassing side. You may be the one that's doing the offending. You may be the one that's in the wrong, doing the offending, and you need to get right with God about that thing. Amen? So then that's what's dealt with in verse 1 through 6. And by the way, thank you, Lord. I just happened to look down and notice there in verse number 6. I'm going to try not to go back and preach, but this is worth mentioning. Verse number 6, he said, in the context now, in the context of forgiveness, in the context of your brother trespassing against you, in that context, those disciples, when they were told you need to forgive 7 times a day if that's what's required, 7 times a day, they said, Lord, increase our faith. See, forgiveness is a faith issue. Hello. Unforgiveness is a feelings issue. increase our faith. Lord, you help us to have enough faith to where we can do that forgiving, where we can release the guilty. But this is what caught my attention. I don't know why I looked over it earlier, verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, still in the context of forgiveness and offenses, you could say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I've got a Ryrie note here. That sycamine tree was in the mulberry family, whose roots were regarded as being particularly strong, making it virtually impossible to uproot. Now, what's that got to do with anything? That offense is an offended. If you're not careful, there'll be a root of bitterness get in your life. There'll be things growing in your life that'll grow out of your offenses. There'll be attitudes and actions, and they'll grow out of that of being offended. And it'll grow roots, and then when you start trying to deal with it, and you try to deal with that offense, you find out that it's difficult. He said it's even like trying to deal with a sycamine tree that's virtually immovable and it's deep rooted. Amen. Best way to deal with that is deal with offenses early on before the sycamine tree grows a deep root in your life. And then when you start trying to deal with it, it's grown into your attitude and it's sprouting roots into your thoughts. And then you got problems. Well, had to hit that a lick. So offenses, verse number 7 through number 10, our deservings, you name it, whatever you want to, our self-worth. Verse number 11 through 19, ingratitude, not being thankful for what the Lord's done in your heart. I've never seen anybody, to my knowledge, that was not thankful, that on the other hand was a real servant of the Lord. They just don't go together. If you're going to be a servant of the Lord, be thankful, be grateful for what the Lord's done in your life. Look, if you will, in verse number 20. And 21, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For listen to this, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. You know what will hinder your service? When you realize that that's in you is the kingdom. Now listen, I know there's a kingdom, a literal kingdom coming. I know that. But far as the kingdom life, I've already got it. I already serve him as my king. He already sits upon the throne of my heart. Amen. He's letting us know here that the kingdom is within you. Listen, if we realize how big it is, what that is inside of us, amen, the kingdom is inside of us. The king is inside of us. We have the kingdom life already. Amen. That ought to be big to you. But that'll kill your service when you lose sight of how big of that reality that's in you. The kingdom is within you. Amen. If you're going to serve the king, you've got to have that kingdom life. Amen. Is Jesus your king? I guess that'd probably be a good way of wording that. If Jesus is not your king, you're not going to be serving the Lord. You're not going to be serving the Lord. Amen. And then he moves on and he begins to deal, verse 26, down through verse number 30, about as it was in the days of Noah. And also there in verse 28, he compares it to the days of Lot. And he says in verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. You know what he's showing here? Just as an application to our thought this morning, what will hinder service in your life is that you let the immorality and the wickedness of Noah and Lot's day put fear in you that you don't serve the Lord. How many people get, and if you get, listen, if you serve the Lord, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. You serve the Lord, you're going to deal with some mockery. You know Noah dealt with mockery. You know he did. As he built the ark, he dealt with mockery. But listen, don't let the wickedness of our day, and it is overwhelming at times. I can't hardly stand to watch the news. I can't hardly stand to listen to the news because it is just overwhelming of what's going on in our land and in our world. Amen. Sometimes you get focusing on that and you feel like, in fact, you are sheep among wolves. You, if you're not careful, you'll be full of fear. Amen. Be full of fear. And then you want to add another note right there is this. And it is certainly a killer for service. It'll hinder your service. It's when, in all of this, Noah's day and Lot's day illustration there is showing what it's going to be like before Jesus comes. You're talking about killing your service? Get your eyes off and your expectancy away from the coming of the Lord. Don't live your life in the light of leaving. Don't live your life in the light of the Lord coming and see if you do much serving. You won't do much serving. It'll hinder your service. Amen? How many people's excited about the coming of the Lord? Amen? Most churches, you preach on the second coming of Christ and they'll go to sleep. Boring subject. Why? They're not interested in leaving. They're interested in staying. So that's what's talked about there in verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Amen? That's right. Of course, you go right on down. I mean, you follow that same thought line right on even to chapter number 18 when he starts to deal with prayer. You want that? You want something to really kill your prayer, your serving of the Lord? Just not have much of a prayer life. The more you pray, the more you'll want to serve God. Amen? That's a good thing to pray about is your service of the Lord. But I just wanted to mention those things there. Just what time we had there about our service. I want to serve the Lord.
That's right.
I want to serve the Lord. Amen. Do you want to serve the Lord? You young people that's just gotten saved in not long. You've not been saved long. Commit your life to serving God. Before you even know a lot of the particulars of what the Lord wants you to do and where the Lord wants you to do it at, just say, Lord, I'm interested in your will for my life. I commit my life to you right now with open hands. Lord, I want to serve you. Whatever you ask of me, Lord, I want to be willing to do it. I want to be willing to go. I want to be willing to, whatever it is, Lord, I want to be able to do that. Because I know for a fact, and many of you can attest to this as well, that there's happiness in the will of God. There's joy in the will of God. Amen. No matter where that is, no matter what the circumstance is, if you know that's where God wants you to be, there's joy. There's joy in your, can be joy in your heart. Amen. I want you to stand with me, please.